Hey, this is John Polar Bear Gonzalez, and you're listening to the Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I'm so excited to welcome John Polar Bear Gonzalez to the Dana Cortez Show.
Yeah, we're back, baby. We're back.
Yes. So let's kick things off with a three claps.
Two claps.
See, that's why Anthony handles this.
That's what I figured we'd do here, big dog. So on three, it's woo.
Okay.
All right. Gotcha. Two claps and a Ric Flair on three. One, two, three.
Woo! Oh, you did that nicely.
Okay.
So I'm going to take it all the way back. Were we your first radio interview?
Yeah, the bigger ones, yes. The only other one I did besides y'all was in El Paso.
Okay, El Paso's big. We love El Paso, yeah. Chuco.
Y'all's was the biggest one that I did.
Wow, that's so amazing to see how much you've grown. I love all that you do online. Obviously, huge fan of your stand-up.
Thank you.
And you're always so honest. And I think I mentioned this, too, with the ups and downs of your career. Why are you so upfront like that? Because if you look at other people's, the timeline, it's always popping. It's always good.
That's why I want to be honest, because I want people to know who get into this game. It's not all going to be ups. There's a lot of downs. There's actually more downs than there is ups.
Truth be told, completely real.
Like, I don't want to sell.
Those highs sustain those lows.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Ooh, yeah. I don't want to sell a false dream. You know, I want to let you know, like, hey, if you want this, you're going to go through some stuff, you know? I mean, and I've been through some of the lowest lows, you know, but I've also been on some of the highest highs. So
what was going on during those low lows? What exactly was happening, if you don't mind sharing that with us?
I mean, there was a number of stuff with the lows. I mean, some of them were kind of like stuff that I would just worry about and cause stress on my own stuff of like selling tickets or wondering like, okay, is this it? Like, am I done? Am I dwindling off? Like, did I have my time and now I'm going down, you know? And then, of course, the whole thing with the hardest one was 2023 was when Israel was battling cancer. Israel was my best friend. We did a bunch of shows together, a lot of shows together. He's my road dog. We did everything together.
Funny guy.
I'm going to tell you right now, he's one of the funniest guys ever. When I saw him up there on stage,
he was Titan the best. Of
man.
Oh, he was the best.
And he was your friend. He was like your brother, so it's different.
Yeah, like we've seen a lot of each other more than we wanted to. That's the
road for you.
Shared
a lot of hotel rooms.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Road life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of two queen beds in there and just doing whatever. Like, no, don't look. I don't look. You know, it's.
So, when that happened, how did you deal with him first coming to tell you, obviously, that he was ill, and then just the process of it, and then when he transitioned?
So, I mean, that was the thing, is like, I was one of the first ones to find out because when he went to the hospital, he had like a problem like with his gallbladder, and he was here in Houston, actually. And so I drove out here and I stayed the night with him and woke up the next morning. They came in, the doctor came in. And so when he found out that he was had cancer, I found out that he had cancer. And so it was just kind of like, sit here, be strong, and you're going to be okay, and we're going to get through this type of thing. But I mean, once they told him, it's like the life was like just pulled out of him. I tried to pray for him and everything, and he was just kind of
He just maybe didn't have the will, or was it just shock? And that word cancer is scary. My mom, thank goodness, is now cancer free, but we went through that. So I know exactly what you're going through. Do you feel like he just didn't want, or did the doctors give him the kind of news that it was just not treatable?
The doctor that was there was not that great. He had told them before he even got the diagnosis, like, well, if this is pancreatic cancer, you're going to die. This is what took Patrick Swayze out. Like, you're going to, this is a serious thing. You need the surgery at this point. If not, you're going
to
die.
That really irks me to hear that. There's so many physicians that have the worst bedside manner. You're talking to another human being. I get it. You see people every day.
Yeah.
But can you not have some compassion and empathy?
Give them some kind of hope.
You take the fight out of people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze reference is wild.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's insane, crazy, dude.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So then you go through all of this. Right. That's what I'm saying.
I know you in Israel. You got to show your pottery too?
I've been wanting to go to pottery class for that so he can come behind me and just help me.
We might. might have to get Whoopi involved in this. Let's bring Israel back. Let's bring him back. My gosh.
We're making pottery. Let's do it.
Oh, my love, my darling. I can sing the background. Yeah.
You can be the Whoopi Goldberg.
I'll play Whoopi. Gosh. Hello.
Anthony, you can be that creepy guy on the train.
You do this on the gram. We're going to make a skit up before you leave. So everything happens. He transitions and his family, how are they? I know you're still very close to them. I've seen you post. I've seen that. How are they doing now? And how are you doing?
They're doing good as they can. I'm doing, you know, about the same. I talk to his mom. His mom will text me every once in a while just to check up. She's the sweetest woman. But, you know, they're doing as good as they can. You know, me and his brother still talk, of course. And then myself, I'm doing fine. You know, I have my moments. I mean, grieving is so weird, you know, because like you'll be good and then all of a sudden something reminds you. You're like, oh.
And you can't call him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the worst part. I can't call my nana. I can't call my Theo.
That's the part that really sucks. Ugh. Especially like just what I've been doing, like going on the road with Fluffy. Like he would flip out. He would flip out if he knew about it.
He would come share that queen size bed with you again.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Talk about Fluffy. Tell me how that happened, because being on tour with Gabriel Iglesias, arguably one of the most successful comedians of our time. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy's got cartoon money. Last time I talked to him, I'm like, well, you got cartoon money. When you start doing animated films, it's like, you know. So what
having
was
your
that?
Own Funkos.
That's like, you're next level. Why are you even talking to me? You don't even need to talk to me anymore.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? How did you guys link? And then just being on tour with him in general.
Dude, it was the craziest thing. He reached out to me.
Oh my God.
He DM'd me on Instagram.
He slid into your DMs.
Yes, dude.
What was your reaction when you saw that? You were like, whoa.
Oh, I thought he got hacked. I was like, yes. Shut up. Because he's like, you're hilarious. Keep
no
killing
mom
it.
No is.
Yeah. And I was like, whatever, dude. Yeah, right. This isn't Fluffy. Okay, sure. I've been catfished before. You know, I know what to expect. But we started talking back and forth. And I told him, dude, I'm a really big fan of yours. That means the world to me. Like, I saw you in 2012 in Austin. And he was like, well, how about you? Would you like to come see me again, but this side from the side stage? And I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, I'm down. I was like, just let me know. He's like, you want to open up for me?
Hey.
I was like, what? This is escalating so quickly. Do I have to, like, what do I got to get naked? Like, what are we doing?
We can share a queen bed.
Yeah, we can share a queen bed. My knees aren't that strong. Put a pillow down, you know? It's. So I went out to Florida. He had booked me for two shows. And then on Saturday night, I was already planning on leaving, and he told me, hey, man, you're freaking hilarious. Like, do you want to come back and do tomorrow, too? And I was like, yeah, dude. So I went back and I did Sunday, and then I started doing more shows with him, and then we started hanging out, and he's just... super cool dude, man. It's crazy that I can actually call this guy my friend. And like, he'll hit me up like, hey, you want to go grab drinks? Do you want to grab dinner? I'm not doing nothing tonight. Like, yeah. Let's go. Like, what?
I also love the support that he's showing other comics.
Yes.
Because there was a long time through in the comedy world, and I've learned this because Anthony A is a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian.
Opened for Fluffy,
Who's open for Fluffy as well.
Yeah, we were on a show together.
Dude. Yeah.
Hey, now.
I've learned that a lot of comedians... You know, especially in the world, the Latino comedian world, didn't support one another. And I do believe, you know, I'm not mad at anybody for that, because there were so few places.
Mm-hmm.
And now with social media, I feel like you've been able to take off. Like, that's where Fluffy found you. More people are open to bring others on board, and it's made comedy stronger.
For sure.
You know, it's like there's power in numbers.
Yes.
So for him to do that is incredible. And now I didn't know y'all were friends like that.
Yeah, it's insane.
What?
I still don't know we're friends like that. I'm not here. Like, it's not real for me.
That is wild. So the half Hispanic, half white, growing up half Hispanic, half white, for me, that's what attracted me to the social right away. So I was like, who is this dude? Because I'm all, you know, I'm full-blooded Latino, but I had a lot of friends who weren't. I married myself a white man, DJ Automatic, obviously not Latino. But that whole thing cut through so well. Where did you come up with the idea for that?
Man,
it stood out so much on social media.
Yeah, life.
But
and
putting
I always
life
have...
under your socials, what made you think this is going to be funny?
So when I first started doing stand-up in 2011, and I would watch the Blue Collar Comedy Tour with Jeff Foxworthy, Larry the Cable Guy, all these people, right? And I'd also watch Latin Kings of Comedy, George Lopez, Paul Rodriguez, Joey Medina. And I would see these people and I was like, I can tell jokes from both sides. Nobody's doing this. And so I brought it into my stand-up and I was kind of like starting in 2012, like 2011, but 2012 I started like putting it into my stand-up. And I just kind of built off of it. And then when the pandemic happened, I was doing skits and nothing was hitting. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a joke that I have into a skit. And I posted it up. It went stupid viral. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is me. This is my family. Can you make more of these? And I was like, yeah, got like him. This is what y'all wanted. I've been trying for 5 years. Like, this is 5 years of throwing skits.
I just had to like live my real life out on the internet.
Dude, I've been twerking. I've been hurting myself just in front of the camera. Y'all just wanted life stories? All right, cool.
Easy. What was the difference between your Hispanic and your white side when it comes to Easter? Were there differences?
Yeah. Easter, the Easter eggs were filled with money on my white side. So that's cool. On my Hispanic side, it was like change or jelly beans.
Or the cascarones, the confetti. There's always pain involved on the Hispanic side.
Yes.
And I'm not sure why, whether it came to like learning to swim. I laughed so hard when you posted that one, because my Theo threw me into the pool.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to swim that way.
Yeah.
And he scared the hell out of my grandma because I jumped off the diving board. I already knew how to swim and she didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Is that how your family was? On one side, they teach you it was all nice and lessons.
Yeah.
Well,
see, that's the thing is like, I did that skit because I already had the white and Hispanic thing, but my pawpaw on my white side, he was a big John Wayne fan.
Oh.
And so he would grab people and just throw them. Like, you didn't want to, like, my pawpaw did not, he did not want to be, hey, pawpaw, how do I swim? Let me show you.
Yeah.
Like, you're not John Wayne, dude. You're, can I cuss on here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're a dick. I mean, rest in peace.
I didn't mean to talk about your we're co-signing the cursive, but I know you're going to disrespect the
rest in peace.
I love you, Pawpaw.
I love him.
Pawpaw's not a dick.
But you're an asshole. God.
So and he wouldn't tickle you either, my Pawpaw. He would count your ribs.
Oh, God, that hurts.
Like, come over here. Let me count your ribs. Like, what the hell? There's 10, dude. All right? Have you read? You've been to biology? Like, leave me alone.
So what has been the best learning experience, you think, on the road from the 2012s? To the 2025s. I think about the amount of time. That's over a decade that you've been doing this. And really, I feel like you've caught your stride the last 3 or 4 years.
It's been fun. I feel like I still have so much more to go, but I also
Of course, I
don't focus on it as much. I used to let it really get to me. And one of the things Israel brought to my attention before he passed was he was like, dude, he's like, you know, man, like I never really noticed it. He was like, until I was faced with this, like, but all the stuff we trip about or we care about, it's nothing. Like, it's doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
Like, I used to care about selling out shows and trying to, oh, man, I didn't sell enough tickets. And what if these people? He's like, dude, he's like, I spent a lifetime making people laugh and feel good about themselves. He's like, I made it, bro. He's like, we made it. Everything we set out in the very beginning to do, just doing comedy and doing it full time and traveling, we've done all of that. Anything from here on out's a bonus.
How incredible that he put that into perspective, because when you're faced with a situation like he was, you realize what the important things are.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're living your dream, man. You're making a living making people laugh.
It's
like
amazing.
Israel said.
It's amazing.
And you make us laugh very hard. I'm just going to tell you right now. I was watching some of the stuff before you came in. I got lost. I was actually just looking stuff up, and I just started. I was like, "Oh shit, he's here. We need to interview him. Hold on." I got lost in the social media.
I want to know, when are you going to take the white versus Hispanic thing to TV?
Yeah, we need that on Netflix.
That's a sitcom.
Yo,
in the making.
I freaking texted him. I said, "Do you have an agent?" Because I was going to suggest our agent to help him, because our agent's son works for a major production company. And you said, "Yeah, I got an agent." So I was like,
oh,
"Okay."
Oh yeah, I have an agent as far as like booking comedy shows.
Oh, well, let's talk.
Not for the TV.
Okay, let's talk. It needs to be on Netflix. It needs to be on Hulu. It needs to be. Well, it is already a TV show written.
One of your new friends could help facilitate the Netflix thing.
Yeah, definitely.
We just talked about your friend.
Your friend.
I see it. It's already written.
Yeah.
Would you be opposed to doing something like that?
No, I would be down to do it.
You could star in it.
Yeah.
No. You should be the person playing you.
Yeah, I'd play me all day. As long as I don't want to do all the wardrobes. I don't do all the characters. Doing like a Nutty Professor type of thing.
No. Who would play Aunt Debbie? You have all the money in the world. Who would you want to play
Ultimate
Aunt Debbie?
Casting.
Whoa.
You're playing casting director right now.
Oh, man.
No pressure.
I know, right? Like, I'm even thinking, like, because I'm an 80s baby, so I'm like, I'm thinking, like, off the top, it was like Susan Sarandon, but she's like 90 or something.
She can't be your mom.
She can't be your mom, no. Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking.
Aunt Debbie.
Who could be?
I want to lead with let's just bounce off some names here. I want to lead with maybe Jessica Lange. No,
that'd be good. No, she'd be all right.
Is that too much? No,
I don't know who.
Okay, Sandra Bullock.
I have to see her.
Sandra Bullock, maybe.
And she was the one who was behind George Lopez.
That's right.
Oh yeah, then Sandra Bullock for sure.
You're right. She produced the George Lopez television show.
Oh, she'd be a great Aunt Debbie.
Where you at, girl? She would be absolutely lovely. I just see that in your future, so I hope that that's going to happen. Obviously, you're on tour right now. I wrote this down, coldest, baddest tour. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to make a big deal because you're dedicating it to Israel Garcia. To Israel, we're talking about him. Mm-hmm. Why dedicate this particular show to his memory?
It was a tour that we had talked about doing for years. Oh. We had always said we're going to do the coldest, baddest tour since we started linking up. And he had just gone off on his own to headline and build his following. And once he got a big enough following, we're going to come back and do a coldest, baddest tour together. So I feel like I'm kind of like carrying the baton and running with it. And I want to do this for my boy so I can kind of like not really move on in the sense of like, get it over with, but just kind of like be like, okay, I did it for us. That's done.
Have some closure.
Yes, exactly.
And keep your promises to each other.
Exactly. So I decided to do the coldest, baddest tour. And just try and bring him into it as much as I could. I did a whole photo shoot and I did photos that he would have loved.
Oh.
I had one where I'm laying like around records and it's records we used to listen to. So it's just like little Easter eggs in the place that like who people who knew us will understand it, you know? But it's something that I've been wanting to do. And it's crazy because like the first radio show me and him did, the first improv we ever headlined, we did y'all's show.
Yep. I remember that.
And now we're starting off a new tour and we're doing your show. And so it's kind of like a full circle moment, you know, and wow. I know he's here with like, I know his spirit is present, you know, because he would have definitely been here, you know, so it's, and I brought Rafa along with me. Rafa was his,
Rafa was good. Come on, Rafa's
right here.
Come here, come on.
What up? Oh, camera.
So this was Israel's childhood friend.
Oh, wow.
And anytime I would put Rafa on the show, Israel would be ecstatic. Like, so happy that I put him on. And so I was like, you know what, man? Like, this is the tour. I'm going to try and put as many of our mutual friends on as I can, as much as I can afford. So I was like, you got to come out. Let's fucking start it. And so he's here.
So, Rafa, Polar Bear calls you. What'd you say? Like, he asked, you want to do this? What was your answer?
Absolutely. I'm there. Yeah, as soon as he said it, I put it on the calendar.
So you did comedy and you knew Israel, so you guys both do comedy together? I mean, how did that happen? That's kind of crazy. I mean, so was Israel the guy that always wanted to do comedy since he was young?
Yeah, so him and I, we grew up together and we always had the vision. We're going to do something big. Right. We're going to do something great. But he was always on it. Like, he the stand-up,
Rafa,
everything.
He was so funny.
It. Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, I love him. I miss him so much because... Yeah, I mean, him and I, we would... Y'all remember Tom Green?
Yeah.
Every skit we would see, we would go out and do in our neighborhood. We'd traumatize those people.
Oh, my gosh, Rafa.
You'd play dead in front of the big
No! He was so great with his physical comedy.
Yes.
You know, master, yeah. I met him through you that during the interview, and Anthony had told me what a great comedian he was, so he was doing a stand-up in San Antonio, I think, and Anthony was hosting. I don't know how it came about, but we went to go see him, and he reminded me, and I mean this, of a young Jim Carrey.
Yes.
His physicality, his presence on stage, I was thrown off because I wasn't expecting it.
And it's crazy you say that because that's who got him in to wanting to be funny. He loved Jim Carrey. Yeah, Jim Carrey was his favorite. Chris Farley was my favorite.
Well, you both remind me of him. Except you're half the size of Chris Farley. You know, he was bigger. I know you play on that and stuff, but you're in way better shape
than
Chris Farley.
If I tour with Fluffy for another year, I'll be the size of Chris Farley. Like, that dude feeds me. It's crazy.
Well, let's talk about...
Oh, no. I was going to talk about feeding on that tour. This is going to be off topic, and this is like a little bit behind the green room, or in the green room, but dude, those freaking cupcakes your mom makes?
Oh,
what happened? Cupcakes?
Hey.
What?
Bro.
Hey, I think that's why I've been getting so many dates, dude, because my mom, like, I like literally question, like, am I funny or did my mom make really good cupcakes?
I've never had better
obviously
cupcakes.
Not. So they're that good?
They're that good.
Okay, so true story, he came back and talked about it.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
They're like, yo, Ed, how's the Toyota Center? It was fun, but these cupcakes, bro.
No, he really, he did. I was like, what? That's like, that hilarious. Was the big story. Let's talk about the Coldest Baddest Tour. So talk about it. What we got in store for these here dates?
Man, so it's a wild show. If you see me on TikTok, it'll be a lot more rated R. I always have a thing where I end the show stripping. That's kind of been my thing. And it started off in Brea. It just kind of was a joke, and then people were like, do it again, and I did it again. And I was like, what do you want me to strip? And everybody went crazy, and so I started doing
it. It's hilarious.
Thank you.
Polar Bear, it's hilarious.
Thank you. And so I was like, you know what? Why don't I end shows this way? Because it's paying homage to Chris Farley, because the first skit that I ever saw was Chippendales.
Yes, okay.
And Patrick Swayze.
I think Patrick Swayze. No,
I know. Israel's definitely with us right now. He's definitely in the room. 1,000%. Definitely in the room. I love the strip scene. And if you go to your Instagram right now, you will see my comment. I said I love because you splashed water on the lady. You're kind of
acting. That was mayonnaise.
Yeah. At least you apologized. Automatic never apologizes when he does that to me.
And that's why he's off camera.
Yeah, you dirty dog.
I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Of course.
And give you an opportunity to give a message to your fans. What do you want to say to the fans that have followed you from the very beginning, the 2010s, 2011s, to now you're on top of the world traveling with Fluffy?
Man, thank all of you for your support. It means the world to me. There was many times I wanted to quit on this journey. Y'all always hyped me up and told me, don't quit, keep going. I'm going to see you on TV one day. You're going to be touring. You're going to be doing all these things. And honestly, like, if it wasn't for my faith in God, I wouldn't be here. But if it wasn't for y'all, I would have quit a long time ago. So thank you for believing in me. Thank you for continuing to follow me and support me. There's so much more to do. And I can't wait to take y'all through all the ups and downs and all arounds. I love y'all so much. Thank you.
Wow. John Polenberg Gonzalez and Rafa, thank you for coming in. Woo!
Thank you.